Chapter 17.
There was a time when I thought of war as an exciting prospect, and maybe even desirable, compared with the unrelenting dullness of my early life on Tatooine. Almost anything else was attractive. But I have discovered since then that there is precious little comfort to be had by anyone during war. The constant stress and loss of friends is like getting lost in the dunes of my homeworld, slowly drying up the tissues of your life until all that remains is a crispy shell of a person. But sometimes, I should say very rarely, but it happens, you encounter a range of rocks in the sand, and hidden away somewhere among the crags is a spring nestled in a crevice, a life-saving oasis that is all the sweeter for its unexpected appearance. Nakari was like that. After isolating the threat represented by Mig Birkett and Barisk Faven, we had an afternoon and evening of free time, until the new engine arrived the next day, and Nakari surprised me by inviting me to relax in her room, a suite with a couch and table and a holoprojector. I accepted, and an afternoon of trading stories about the desert extended into a dinner of room service Pazic meat, which was in my opinion tastier than Nerf, and a significant point in Kupo's favor. At some point, about halfway through the meal, she laughed about something, and her smile was so charming that I forgot not to stare when she caught me again. She literally had to snap me out of it. "Hey. Hey. What?"
"If you're looking for food, Luke, it's down there in front of you," she said, pointing with her fork.
"Sorry," I said, dropping my head and feeling the heat rush into my face, trying to think of a time when I'd felt more embarrassed and coming up with nothing. She chuckled softly.
"You're not what I expected, you know," she said,
and waited until I looked up. Seeing my raised eyebrow, she reassured me with a nod.
"That's a good thing. You weren't what I pictured from the very first moment we met on the Patience."
"You had a mental picture of me before we met?"
"Well, yeah. You hear about someone blowing up the Death Star, someone painted as a hero of the Alliance, and you think, that kid's head is probably so swelled it has its own gravity by now. Or you think someone like that is all about duty and righteousness, and wears super tight underwear. No sense of humor, you know, because when they prop up someone as a hero, they're not promoting you as a real person. You're this ideal of political zealotry."
Simultaneously amused and horrified, I said, "So in your head I was a stuck-up ideologue with no room in my shorts?" She gave an embarrassed laugh.
"Maybe something like that, yeah."
"Wow, I've never been so glad to defy expectations."
"I'm glad to be proven wrong."
Thinking of the aftermath of Yavin, I sighed, dinner forgotten. If I'm honest, though, I probably did let it go to my head for a while.
"Ah, so I just caught you at a good time?"
"Kind of. I mean, have you ever looked back at who you were 2 years ago, or even 6 months ago, and shook your head at how stupid you were back then?" Her expression brightened in recognition.
"Yeah, I know that feeling. And you want to go back in time, armed with what you know now, and tell her how it is."
"Exactly. 2 years ago, I thought I'd never escape Tatooine, and I complained about everything." I grimaced at the memory of how I'd behaved. "I definitely have some things to tell that kid now." And then everything changed. I met a Jedi, joined the Rebellion, and almost instantly had this tremendous success. I saved a princess and blew up a superweapon, got a medal from the same princess, fireworks in my honor, and everything. That could turn your head into a planet really fast.
"Mm-hmm."
I thought that was just a polite noise and my cue to continue, but Nakari drummed her fingers on the table to stop me and then asked a dangerous question couched in a coup.
"Tell me, Luke, Am I mistaken in thinking you have feelings for that princess? Because I thought I heard a note of yearning there.
My eyes shifted to her face and found hers waiting, studying my expression carefully. After a couple seconds of terror, I remembered a widely held policy about honesty and how it was probably for the best. No, you're not entirely mistaken, I said. But we're just friends.
Pilot, that's not going to fly. I'm talking about what you want, not what you are.
I couldn't believe the conversation had gotten this uncomfortable this quickly. I wasn't any sort of expert on relationships, but I felt certain that I had already said too much, and it was unwise to speak to one person about your desire for another. Honesty, I reflected, might not always be the best policy.